Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
There you go. Opening sounds. Opening sounds. That was JTE, not me. I will not take credit for that one. Hello and welcome back to Box Office Breakdown on the Popcorn Talk Network. I'm your host for today, Sarah Stratton. I don't know how... Are you just the sound end of the table?
Yeah, I'm beatboxing now. Channeling my inner Rocky IV. It's really cold outside.
That's true.
It's like 80.
You look 10 years younger this episode.
Do I?
Yeah.
Last week, supposedly, I looked 10 years older.
Yeah, but that guy's, whatever he was smoking, I don't think anybody's looking for
it. You know what? I take it's good, because I had an audition that day, and I was supposed to be older than my actual age.
Oh, really?
So I was like...
That's pretty cool.
Accomplished.
Perfect. I like that lipstick.
But for everyone else who...
The Beat Hummus color lipstick.
Roxy Stryer.
Of course, that's what she does. Roxy wears those colors. I don't know where she gets them from, but... Where does she get them?
Like
Sephora or something like that?
Where you get most makeup. That's not unusual.
It's the MAC store, maybe.
What is the MAC store? Good job.
Well, yeah.
Makeup knowledge.
I'm in touch with a lot of
girls. Are you learning that from like all the weddings you've been going to?
Yeah, it's a lot of weddings. It was two in a row.
Wait,
two in a row.
JT.
That was a guest.
Yes. Right now, we are currently on Historic Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
instead
show.
Instead of Box Office
other
Breakdown.
Shows
we,
now
so we still got popcorn here, though. Don't worry.
But yeah, you all should.
Oh, yeah.
Or now watch the mountains.
Now we're in Denver.
Now we're in Denver.
That's all good.
Now listen, we're just doing other stuff. Oh, there we go.
Listen,
hey, nothing against Historic Hollywood.
I apologize if I'm a little out of it. I'm you know, physically and emotionally drained a little bit.
Mm.
The Patriots beat the Giants in a last second field goal.
That's
Tom Brady, the GOAT.
He is the GOAT right
now. I lost my voice for a little, about an hour there. I went into hibernation and I'm ready to go.
If they had lost, I would be fine with you being low energy. But they won, so you need to like amp it up.
Yeah, he's gonna
that's
be
how it goes.
But we lost Edelman to a foot injury.
He's got
to
wait for. You don't know
that
for sure.
He's got to
wait for the international title game.
Yeah, as soon as the international title game,
you'll be there.
It's like a shot of adrenaline to my heart.
You can reenact some of your favorite moments of the game during that. But we should move on to this week's numbers. Did you have a point
Let's
to
do
make?
It.
Did
no,
you put
I'm
a
good.
Finger up? Did you have something
I'm
to
good.
Say?
Let's go.
All right. Also, I want to put in a little bit of debate. Technically, JT won the predictions for last week. I think technically I should win because I at least had the five right.
Everybody gets the five right, but I mean.
Really? Everybody gets the five right?
Well,
did you
I
get
mean,
the five right?
Well, not me.
Did you get the five right?
I've been really bad lately.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people who didn't do badly, let's get to our winners from the past week. Jacob Henson is the winner for The Love of the Coopers.
That's Jim Henson's
guessing game.
Son.
Okay.
Congrats.
Yeah.
He's got dough.
That's probably a lie. For the 33 guessing game, we have Trevor Moffat as well as Robert Burke, who Robert Burke also went 5 for 5. The other 5 for 5 winners go to Matt Sapinar, Tiago Cruz, Joe Orton, and two badass friends of the show, Kristen Siliberto and the Boss Turner.
Wow. You know, Boss Turner's locked in.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy
it.
Is locked in.
Got
he
it.
Really is.
Nice work. Yeah. And they called in. So, what were those numbers? Let's see. The 33 just getting in to the top five, bringing in almost $6 million, $5.8.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
very
good.
I mean, it's
my company's movie. We want a 10.
Well,
we only put
didn't
DNA
get
up, though.
There. But you can't feel too bad because none of the newcomers this week got to 10.
Yep.
The Martian's still hanging on in its seventh week, brought in almost 6.7. That's only a 26% drop.
It's phenomenal. It's over $200 million now.
Yeah.
Love of the Coopers came in at number 3, opened at 8.4.
Yeah.
So JT said it was going to bring in 10.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close.
I can't believe people
but
are going to see these kind of movies.
This is a huge jump. You're going from the third place at 8 at a new movie. 33 was new at 5. The American came in at number 12 with less than $1.5 million.
Oh, that's a piece of junk.
Leaving all the money to the Peanuts with 24.2.
Yeah, good hold.
Very good hold, only dropping 45%. Mm-hmm. And Spectre taking the number one spot again, bringing in $35
million. That's a little
dropping
lower than I thought.
Yeah, 49.7%.
It is a little lower than you thought, and I think that kind of reflects how good the movie is. I think a lot of people, that most people I talk to, are disappointed. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some bomb people that love the movie, but I feel like the majority of people I've talked to have been disappointed with the movie.
Well, if you look at, I thought this was actually higher than the drop should have been based on word of mouth.
Really? Okay.
I thought it should have been bigger. Hmm. Also, after I saw it this week, it's not a movie that I can go out there and fully recommend.
Did you
to
like
people.
It overall?
Spectre. This is my opinion on Spectre. I think that if you are a huge, huge Bond fan, you're going to like it more than the average person. Mm-hmm. I also think that if you just want to be familiar with the Bond films, like, yes, go see it. It's entertaining enough. If you are not a huge Bond person or haven't made a point of seeing all of Daniel Craig's James Bond films, then you don't need to see this one.
Agree.
Like, there's a lot of story elements that are missing, and there's a lot of things you're going to be in there like, what is this referencing? Because half the shots are like in reference to one of the films from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The story and the relationships don't really hold up for me.
For me, I'm not a huge Bond fan, but I've been a fan of this Daniel Craig like series and the direction they've taken it. I feel like this one just went away from that direction. It went more to the old school Bond, so I can understand why the Bond people like it. But for me, who was attached to the earlier films, it feels out of place.
Yeah.
The ending really pissed me off.
To connect a bunch of dots that I didn't realize were dots.
Oh, there were, because they weren't. Do you think that was like a plan from the first film?
But
hell no.
No, but if you were like a hardcore fan, they did see those dots.
I disagree.
Supposedly that's what's going on. You can debate with Dimitri who went into it. But speaking of James Bond films, reference Skyfall. Skyfall opened up stronger, brought an 88, but had a bigger drop down to 53. So,
yeah, but it also made him more money, right?
Yeah.
Like 75 or something opening.
It broke. Skyfall opened to 88 and then dropped down to 41 its second week.
So Spectre fell more because it dropped from 88 to 35.
Yeah.
No, not even 88. Spectre was 673 or something.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, I forgot. I thought it was
dropped 49.7%.
Yeah, gotcha.
But it did hold on to the number one spot for the second week. Guess what? It's going to probably lose it pretty soon.
Yeah.
With word of mouth,
it's gonna
with
get
everything.
Eaten alive, if you get the pun.
There's so much to talk about.
The hunger.
Also,
thank you.
The hunger.
We should throw it out there just because we talked about it before. By the Sea, which someone over there thought was going to make the top five.
Oh, I like erotic thrillers. I mean, where's the sex nowadays?
Didn't even make
full frontal male
$100,000.
Wow.
Came in at the 31st spot, ranking 95,000 bucks.
Ah, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, it just goes to show you know, it's not about stars anymore. America's smarter than that. They, you know, unless you have a big superhero movie or a big brand, you know, with no stars in it, people will go check it out. But these little movies like this with these big stars, they're just not working anymore.
Well, that's because it's not unusual anymore. If you looked at festivals such as like Sundance or whatnot, a decade or so ago, it was an anomaly for there to be so many A-listers. Now it's a thing. A-listers want to have independent cred. They are spreading out their stories. And then you're getting, instead of an independent movie, its highlight being a star that carries it through. That's not unusual. You now need the full elements of a studio movie and more. You need a good story. So it's hard because
America's smarter. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And it's hard for production companies because, like, you look at it and you're like, oh, I have all of these people that should bring in lots. They're raising your budgets for independence. They're making it harder, but they're not going to give you the return unless you have something absolutely fabulous. And that is harder to get with less money.
I think the way people could get information out has just changed the ways. Like, before, these two top eight actors, that would be enough to bring people to theaters because they don't have Twitter, internet, you know, YouTube to tell them it's bad.
Absolutely.
They just had to literally go and trust that the actors were going to make a good movie. Now, the second something gets a preview screening,
yep.
you're hearing, you're seeing tweets, hey, it's not that good. Like, word will spread, and then other websites will pick it up. And this has not got good reviews.
It's a lot, and movies really get talked about. Well, nothing really was getting good reviews. Speaking of that, Spectre came in with 63% compared to Peanuts, 85%.
Peanuts is good.
Yeah.
Peanuts is great. They got Pigpen in
I'm
there.
I'm definitely rethinking seeing it.
Gosh, I'm like a horse.
By the Sea brought in 32%. Mm. Love the Coopers brought in, these are all according to Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, 17%.
Oof.
And
Love
the 33 brought in 40%. Uh-huh. Like, that's horrible.
Wait,
that's
33
just green.
Is that what?
33 is at 40%.
40%.
Let me check
that's
if
tough
that's
for a movie like that. The 33 is actually a really good movie.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, my company
well,
did
this
it.
Is
oh,
thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Critics are giving 33-40. Audiences are giving a 68.
And an A-minus cinema score.
Yeah.
A and A-minus cinema score is just like great.
It's hard to be like, oh, I'm not going to like this movie as an audience member when it's such a hard thing to watch or like to...
I went to the premiere the other day for 33 on Monday. You know, the audience was like, eh, whatever.
Solid
it may
enough.
Be a little too emotional. Like they really hit the beats too much.
Well, let me ask you this, because like 33, yeah, Antonio Banderas, who's not exactly a draw unless he's playing a cat.
Yeah.
Puss in Boots.
or next to Salma Hayek.
So it's not, there's nobody like super famous in it, but it is based on like a historical event. Originally, I believe the company actually wanted to get One Direction to be this, like, their feature film debut was going to be, they were going to be like some of the 33.
Yeah.
And people went like nuts.
It was unbelievable.
You cannot cast One Direction as Mexicans in the 33.
No, you
can't. Well, I mean, you can.
No, you can't.
Nobody's going to see it. There's a lot of Harry Styles fans. But look, I think the 33, you know, you got the Latino faith-based stuff. They did well in that area. But look, I mean, over the weekend, everybody knows the bad stuff that happened. I think that took away from the box office as well because you're watching real live events on TV unfold, which is a disaster, to say the least. I think it costs movies like the 33 some money. You know?
But if One Direction was cast as some of the minors, do you think it would have made more money?
I'd go see that because there'd be a lot of chicks in the theater.
And I have the opposite draw. Like, okay, I do not want to see – I'm more likely to see the 33 with this cast than if you told me that One Direction was going to be. I'd be like, what are these people thinking? Could you be more money hungry in the world?
True.
This is a situation you should respect, not something that
they
you should.
Put Ben Kingsley in it.
Listen,
I've been all right with that.
Yes.
Listen, I made that up, so everybody don't get mad. don't go get crazy.
What's like, this guy talking about?
I'm joking. One Direction was never.
No, that would be ridiculous.
It would be. That's why I was like, I give me to go with it.
Fire.
That's probably what was going with it.
I thought
it's sad that we thought that
could have been a real scenario.
We should have did 10.
It was going to be musical
that's
too.
That's pretty good.
They're going to sing
all right, let's get into
that's a great song. I like that song. It's Backstreet Boys though.
I was going to be like, isn't that a different band?
They should have put the Backstreet Boys in there. New Kids on the Block, One Direction.
Yes, all the
whatever
boy bands.
Whatever movie this is.
The 33.
Yeah, the 33. All the boy bands. But
different take.
But the crazy part about it is they don't get out.
And then the last song will be The Last Breath You Take.
Yes.
And every
breath
move you make.
Yes. Sting.
We'll kill us
slowly. Or the police, actually.
We're going to move
on. You know what?
Now.
We're all glad they made it out. So
Spotlight did well in a limited.
Oh, yes. Let's talk. You know, you were mentioning Sundance earlier and how stars are going there. I saw The Room. Not The Room. Sorry. I saw Room with Brie Larson, William H. Macy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I can't remember the mother's name. Oh, she was in the contender.
Joan Allen.
Yes, Joan Allen. Thank you.
She's great.
Thank you.
She was fantastic in that movie. I think there's going to be Oscar noms all around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful, well-shot film. I absolutely loved it. It's the best. It's going to be my top five of the year, probably.
Wow.
It's really good.
I will see it.
I also saw Spotlight. Very good movie.
It's a great
movie. Not top
movie.
Five, though?
I don't know. It might be towards the bottom of my top 10. It's a journalism movie. Like, it is about journalism. Like, it's literally just reporters going out.
But it's good, though.
It's really good.
The storyline of it's amazing.
The Boston Globe, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are some movies for all of you to go see.
Find them.
Don't waste your money seeing Love the Coopers. Don't waste your money on that. Go out and find Room.
I
know it's difficult and find movies like Spotlight.
Who goes and pays and is like, oh, let's go see Love the Coopers. What a stupid movie.
Well,
come on, people, wake up.
Let's go into
Jesus
international.
Jesus Christ, anybody who sees it, don't watch this show anymore.
I defend. It's okay. You watch.
What a junk
maybe they
movie.
Just wanted to feel like they've raised
$8 million.
All of these. Because people want to laugh sometimes and not cry.
It's not laughable. That's not
right.
A joke.
Spectre International numbers
yes,
time. Spectre blew the competition away at the foreign box office this weekend, racking up a massive $152.6 million to lead all of them. The latest James Bond adventure was powered by a huge debut in China.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where the film picked up $48 million for the Friday through Sunday period, a record for a non-3D U.S. film, and only $11 million less than the previous 007 installment, Skyfall.
So it didn't make less.
Yes. Yeah. So far, Spectre has earned $543.8 million globally.
China. We love the Bond. They love some Bond.
A lot of money.
Mm-hmm. They love some Bond.
In second place,
James Bond.
And I'm sorry in advance for pronouncing this wrong. In second place, Bollywood romance, Prem Ratan Dhan Payo. Payo?
Yeah. In American, it's translated to a bunch of Indians dancing.
It picked up $31 million. Also of note, this movie also did really well in our box office. It was
really?
Only in 286 theaters.
I think it was the top 10.
And it did. It made the eighth spot. It brought in almost $2.5 million.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So
that's
it did well.
Money.
Second place internationally and eighth domestic opening.
Is that the one Stallone
came out of? I used to date an Indian girl and I used to watch a lot of these movies. it's just like they'll talk about like, hey, I love you. And then next thing you know, they're like dancing for an hour and then they go back and they're wearing these like very
elaborate.
Set designs are crazy. Yeah. Very elaborate things. You know what? I don't hate them. They're actually,
you know what?
They're actually decent.
I don't want
Stallone recently cameoed in a Bollywood film. Is it this one?
He's a big Bollywood component. He's a big component of their movies. He loves it.
It's true.
Well, the film is a local language production from 20th Century Fox and already ranks as one of the top grossing films of the year in India.
India has a lot of people.
Ugh. Yeah, a lot
of people.
They're giving China a run for their money.
Also,
they build some theaters in the
international box office, the third place going to South Korea's film, The Priest.
The better of the Koreas.
Yes.
South Korea's The Priest nabbed third place with $9.3 million, bringing its mystery film, bringing the total to $25 million. And then we have Hotel Transylvania 2 coming in fourth with $8.9 million, pushing Global Haul to $417.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I also believe the South Korea film The Priest is a remake of an 80s film called We're No Angels with Sean Penn and Robert De Niro.
Sean Penn and Robert De Niro, yes. They try to get to the border. It's an amazing film.
Amazing film.
Yeah.
And then the Chinese film, A Journey Through Time with Anthony, rounding I really thought that title was going to be a lot longer, and then it just stopped.
Wait a minute here. A Journey Through Time with Anthony.
With Anthony.
Anthony who?
I don't know.
These guys are just
looking to read to the next line.
Anthony. Anthony who? Perkins?
I don't know.
From Psycho?
That's Tony from Queens.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Hopkins.
A Journey Through Time with Tony Danza.
A Journey Through Time with Anthony. Rounded out the top five, picking up $6 million. So, just of note, three of our top five international films are non-U.S. films.
Yeah.
One from India, or I don't know if 20th Century Fox would be.
A Journey Through Time with Anthony.
Yo, Anthony, you want to take a Journey Through Time? All right.
Yeah, we'll put it out in China. What about America? Nah, I'm never going to want to see that.
Let's go.
Let's draw through China.
Obviously, and then we'll make our way the rest of the world doesn't really want to see the other movies that the U.S. is putting out.
I'm going to see A Journey Through Time with Anthony tonight. I'm going to find it on YouTube, yeah.
I'm sure you can find bootleg. It's from China somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
I don't know why
it's out there.
They just put that, man.
That's great.
Under the sea.
That's the best title ever.
That's the best title. Let's see if we can get some other good titles in our international titles game. JTE, are you ready? Let's see if I can guess football plays.
The international title game.
Al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución no los queremos.
I really thought you were going to do like the full goalpost with like the kick barely going through.
Instead, I opened the door and said, "Yo, Anthony, do you want to take a journey through time?"
Yes, he's the best.
I had to change on the fly because that was too great of a thing.
That was too good.
Yeah, I'm just overwhelmed by that title.
All right.
Does it take the cake for you? Can you not proceed with your game?
That could be a t-shirt.
Yeah, Journey Through Time with Anthony.
That is good.
It's like a porn.
Sounds like a wonderful cartoon.
Maybe. Through time with Anthony. Why Anthony, though?
I just see Anthony looking
like
Pedro
Andrew or something. Or what about, like, you know,
well, it's from Chinese.
There's no Chinese Anthony. Except, like, a guy maybe who owns, like, a you know, an auto mechanic shop. You know, his name's Anthony.
Isn't Tony?
Tony Leung?
No, there's no Tonys in China.
Okay. Continue with your game.
Obviously, Anthony. Probably like the only white guy there. Anyway, that being said. All right, so we're going to go with, you know, the foreign movie title game, obviously, all from China. We're going with Julia Roberts here.
Oh, I Secret love Julia Roberts.
For, you know, because she's in
Secret of Their Eyes,
which looks pretty interesting.
Continue.
We're going with The Pelican Brief.
Yeah, with Denzel.
Okay. It's called A Journey Through Time with Julia.
Yes.
No. True.
Yeah. It is called Absolute Machine.
I never saw this movie. I have no idea what it's about.
It's about, okay. It's about like hacking and stuff, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Like old school hacking.
Kind of like The Net.
Yeah.
Okay.
So The Pelican Brief. Absolute Machine.
Okay.
Friday Night Knitting Club. Jewish women drink
you
wine and
have,
talk
like,
shit.
Popular movies?
is that a real movie?
Yeah, it's called Jewish. Yeah, it's Friday Night Knitting Club.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. It's not Jewish women drink wine and talk shit. Although it probably is, but that's not what it's called. Anyway, disregard that one. Something to talk about.
Okay.
Julia Roberts is hereby love magic.
Okay. Julia Roberts is hereby love magic.
Okay.
I gotta say.
Mary Riley. You know, when she played like Dracula's and a wife or something, or whatever she was. Fatal Avatar.
Okay. It's a Frankenstein movie.
Yep. Erin Brockovich.
Oh, Oscar.
You know, where she won the Oscar, where she was like, the water was contaminated in Jersey, and everybody was like, looking like Quasimodo.
I didn't think it was in Jersey.
And kids were popping out with hunchbacks. It was bad.
Yeah.
And a little inaccurate.
One eyes and things like that. Wing. Like on a wing in a prayer.
Yeah.
Inappropriate. Wing. Inappropriate.
I go through one
I guess because they were putting, like, you know, the study chemicals in the water and kids were growing wings.
This is a tough one.
Okay.
Go through them all one more time.
The Pelican Brief. Absolute Machine. Something to Talk About. You know, Julia Roberts and Dylan McDermott or somebody. Julia Roberts is hereby
Fake.
Love magic.
Fake.
You sure about that? There's Journey Through Time with Anthony there. Julia Roberts is hereby love magic. Sounds all right to me.
Last
Mary Riley. Fatal Avatar.
Okay.
And Erin Brockovich. Wing. Inappropriate.
I'm going with Julia, yeah.
It's suspicious
they would put her full name in there.
Yeah.
They love her down there.
I'll go with four, I guess.
There's a lot of Chinese ladies getting plastic surgery.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wing.
Everybody's going with Wing Inappropriate?
That's what I'm going with.
Marissa,
that's
what Marissa's is going with you.
Well.
Oh,
okay.
She's typed
she
in.
She went with number two.
I went with number two.
You guys are not right.
None of us?
What?
Nope.
Which one was it? It was the first one?
The Pelican Brief. Absolute Machine.
Damn it. That was the two I was going between, one and four. And I...
Yeah. It's called, like, black and white something.
Marissa made a frowny face.
So...
Right?
So, Julie Roberts' Hereby Love Magic is something called Something to Talk About.
Wow, that's amazing.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's pretty amazing. They're great over there. You know that.
Let's
know that.
Oh, gosh. We're going to get into our top five list.
I always pronounce
his name wrong.
Top five. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
No.
Chiwetel Okafor.
Chiwetel Okafor. No, Okafor is a football player.
Yeah, it's Chiwetel.
No,
he's a
basketball
player.
It's
Chiwetel Okafor.
No, she said it's Chiwetel Ejiofor. He's awesome.
Yeah. He's the best.
He's awesome. He's really
this guy's good. Been around for a long time.
Forever. Yeah. Oh, so we're going to talk about his top five grossing films.
Yeah, time to give this guy some respect.
Also, just to let you know, when he was in art school at the age of 19, he was only 3 months into his course, and he was cast by Steven Spielberg to play a supporting part in The Amistad.
Amistad, great movie.
19, and just pulled out of school 3 months.
I wonder, was there any... The Amistad boat.
Are you, like, you're going through some mental, like, calibration?
Amistad was very good.
Got you.
Chime in, Honshu.
You're on your phone.
I forgot to put the numbers... So I grabbed Tom's email.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I have the numbers if you want them.
I don't have any numbers.
I don't have the numbers.
There are the numbers.
Oh, wait. Thank you very much. Now I can do my job.
All right.
Let's do this.
Number five.
These are his top five grossing films. Been for a while. He's lots of award notification, but fifth film is Inside Man.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So back from 2006, adjusted, bringing in $112 million.
Yeah, this is Denzel, also Clive Owen, Spike Lee joint.
Yeah, it pains me to say it. I hate Spike Lee.
Oh, but, really?
But this was actually a pretty good movie.
Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt a lot like Day After Tomorrow. I mean, not Day After Tomorrow.
God. Die Hard with Vengeance.
The same year he also did Children
Dog
of
Day
Men.
Afternoon.
Yes, it was very like
this
that.
This is very much Spike Lee's version of Dog Day Afternoon, with a more urban kind of feel to it. But I thought it was really good. I think Denzel gave us a good performance, as does Clive Owen and Jodie Foster and Chiwetel.
It's a solid cast.
Yeah, a supporting role.
It's interesting, you know. You know, the riddle, there's like a riddle part of it. Like, sort of like with the same kind of like
story.
Are you
going to do a riddle now? I love riddles.
Hickory Dickory Dock. That's what I have. But, no, it was Spike Lee didn't realize that, you know, Die Hard of Vengeance was based on like riddles. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where he was. I guess he didn't watch a movie or whatever. But he said if he knew that, then he would have took out the riddles of the movie. But that made the movie. So I don't know what this idiot's talking about.
Huh.
All right.
Confusing.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
The number four on this list is going to go to Salt.
Yes, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, bringing in... why are you hoofing already?
Oh,
bringing in $124 million adjusted. Mm. This was her, like, multiple disguises. She was, like, an undercover Russian agent something.
Disguise. This is the same guy who wrote the new Point Break.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't hate Salt.
I enjoyed it.
It was
directed by Philip Noyce, the same guy that did Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford.
It has very, like, memorable scenes. Like, for some reason, I can always remember her car crash. Mm-hmm. Like, it sticks in your head pretty well.
I would call it, like, the perfect rental. Like, it's a movie rental. I would rent it and be completely satisfied, but if I saw it in the theater and paid $20, I'd probably be like, it was good.
I'm going to come out now and tank. I had a very long and detailed discussion with this guy, Kurt Wimmer, who's the...
Oh, Kurt Wimmer wrote this. That's right. He also directed Equilibrium, which is a movie I actually really like.
You know what? He's an interesting character. I had about a two-hour conversation with him. It got a little heated at times because I think he's semi-delusional.
Okay.
But it was getting weird. And then, you know, he said New Point Break. He said it's only 1%. Mm-hmm. Of like people actually really care about the old one.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I told him. I was like, "Are you what drugs?
Come
are you on,
on, Kurt."
Yeah, I was like, "Come on, Kurt. Come on, wake up." I was like, "It's at least 50%." He doesn't know.
All right. Well.
But he did, you know what? He did create the fictional fighting style kata
in Equilibrium, which is a great movie. Christian
he made
Bill.
Up like a fighting style.
That is very cool.
You gotta respect them there.
Going up to Chiwetel's third grossing film, American Gangster, bringing in adjusted $157 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Underwhelming.
I gotta agree with you, man. Ridley Scott, Denzel Washington, Russell Crowe.
This wasn't a good movie.
I believe his debut at TI. But overall, you know, I actually tried rewatching this maybe about 5 months ago. I was like, you know, I haven't seen it since theaters. I'm going to give it a shot.
No.
Not even an hour, 30 minutes of the movie. I said, you know what? I'm just not interested.
It's just not a good flick. It was hyped to be this new gangster movie and all kinds of craziness. And it just didn't work. Crazy part about it, Richie Roberts and Frank Lucas are actually friends now in real life.
Yep.
You know, you hunted for him for a long time. And Richie Roberts is actually, you know, Lucas's son's godfather, which is nuts.
Wow, that is crazy. I mean, I don't blame the actors. I don't think Crowe or Denzel did bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think the movie just overall script was kind of weak, and Scott's direction isn't bad. It just feels bland. Something about it.
Well, what about 2012? His number two on this, bringing $181 million.
He's in the Goldblum role in this movie. He's the scientist who's trying to warn everybody, like Goldblum was in Independence Day, from the same director, Roland Emmerich,
yes.
Basically, he's the guy who discovers... In every Roland Emmerich movie, there's a guy that finds out something bad's going to happen, and he tries to tell everybody, but it falls on deaf ears until the world explodes or tilts or, you know, falls off its axis, and then it's like, ah!
It's crazy. You know,
this was John Cusack's movie, though, but he did have a good supporting role.
It was Cusack and... Woody Harrelson. Quaid and...
Woody Harrelson.
No, 2012. Wasn't
You're thinking Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Which I said earlier.
Yeah,
that's the Quaid one.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
They're all terrible. But, you know, the crazy part about it is, guess who Roland Emmerich, you know, credits his career to?
Who?
Sylvester Stallone.
gosh.
Never mind.
He gave him this big break. Stallone was impressed with this movie called Moon 44.
Okay.
And was going around town going, this guy Emmerich's the guy, and was getting him jobs and stuff like that.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, breaking his chart is The Martian, taking the number one spot with 190. It's very confusing because this is adjusted, and this is from this year, and the real numbers is 198.5, but adjusted is 192.2. I'm going to leave you up to you what that means.
I'm just reading numbers. Breakdown, you know?
But, you know, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Martian's great. Not something I would really point to him as memorable for.
Nah, he was the best in 12 years a slave.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. Really, I think if you look at this list...
They're not his best movies.
This isn't what I think of him for.
But that shows you what money.
Stupid America is.
Money does not equal good, especially in Hollywood at times.
Especially right now in this day and age.
Transformers is not a good franchise.
In this day and age. Yeah. In the 80s, money's it equaled good movies.
Good movies, yeah.
Not anymore.
Because
it's junk personified.
Like, out of these movies, The Martian's the only credible one I think is actually a decent, good movie.
I agree. Like, if I'm going to rewatch these, it's definitely Martian number one. But I'm also not watching that for Tutel. I'm watching that.
Yeah, of course.
Gravity on Mars is only 40% of that
we'll
of the Earth.
But we'll see, like, coming up, he's set to do Secret in Their Eyes. He's in that. Yep. But up on, in post-production already, is 999.
Yeah, which the trailer came out just this week, and it looks awesome.
That and is also crazy. For 2016, Doctor Strange.
Boom, Marvel.
So.
Done.
There's this new
list.
He's
supposed to be in there
as well. Lamborghini.
$700 million in China alone.
But... So we'll be seeing obviously more from him.
What I learned from this list is that if it wasn't for Stallone, we wouldn't have gotten Independence Day.
That is correct.
let that sink in, people.
Just he started think about so many this. People's careers.
All right,
he's the best.
Now let's get into some upcoming films.
Here we go.
We are going to see Spectre dethroned because we've got some big movies coming out.
Yeah.
Mainly talking about The Hunger Games.
Boom.
Mockingjay Part 2. Mm-hmm. Press has started. Media is going crazy. Every time I turn on my computer, there's something about Jennifer Lawrence.
It's all over.
And yeah, this week it is here. It makes me feel like it's late in the year already. Something's being typed at me, but
what
I don't.
What the hell does that
mean? What does that
say? Roxy drunk? Roxy write that?
She wrote, Ermergerd. So excited.
Oh my god. Gotcha. Yes, the rest of the world is also excited with you, Marissa, which excitement translates into big money.
It's not somebody on the left-hand side over here. I can care less about this movie.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you about my relationship.
You sound like a downer.
Yeah, let me tell you about my relationship with The Hunger Games. First movie, not that great. It was okay. It was passable. Second one, I thought was great. I thought Catching Fire was really good.
Do you know what numbers these have opened to?
Oh,
do you want me to tell you?
Of course, because you're coming off a property book. It's like Harry Potter. They had a built-in audience.
Do you want me to tell you how much?
Good.
All right. The Hunger Games number one opened to $152 million dollars in 2012. Mm-hmm. It ended with about $408 million. You got Catching Fire opening to $158 million.
Catching Fire was great.
Ending at about $424 million. It took a little bit of a dive with Mockingjay Part 1, going down to $121 million, but still.
Mockingjay, you're going to see about $120 million on this one again, too.
Well, you have everyone who saw the first one now has the second one. It's Part 2.
Yeah. Mockingjay was okay. It was like, there were some moments I liked it, but it felt like you literally got a quarter of a movie.
This is the end.
I know, and it's like...
No, it's not. They're going to do a prequel or a sequel to this.
100%. Well, I'm sure they will, but it's the end of Katniss's story for as far as we know. But, yeah, it's going to make a crap load.
It's going to make a crap load.
Yeah, Frank Lawrence said this is the most violent one ever, so...
Yeah, there's some...
Let's see some real stuff. Donald Sutherland's going to take the yell. He has to.
It's going to make a lot of money.
One of the trailers, there was, like, some sort of monsters, like, vampire-looking monsters. I don't know what the hell they were, but
it's
like,
probably set up
nothing
another movie.
In this series has even come close to me thinking there'd be anything like that in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, this shit's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Wait,
well,
they're called mutts.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah,
well, someone read the book.
Well, she knows that.
Yeah. Also,
mutt stands for what?
Mutilated.
Mutants?
Genetically altered mutants.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing. If I'm creating like a zombie monster vampire looking thing that's horrifying looking, I'm not calling it a mutt.
No.
Because that's like a cute, hey, well, it's a little mutt.
It looks just a little mutt, yeah.
Okay, you guys, you debate your whole...
mutts.
You take on this one. I'm going to move on to The Night Before, which is also coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
This movie was very, very funny.
Yes, this guy saw it.
I don't laugh out loud in the theater that much. I was laughing out loud like five times. So if I could laugh out loud five times, normal Americans are going to do it 30.
Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Anthony Mackie. Yeah. It is a timely picture. It's coming out in the holiday season.
It's going to make
it has a little bit of a... you know, boys will be boys flair.
It's going to make you look at dick pics a whole new light.
Let me tell you, if this movie wasn't... if Star Wars wasn't around, this thing probably would be coming out the next month. But they released it, I think, early because of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I love Seth Rogen and this guy, Evan Goldberg, I think his name is, the guy who directs and writes with him.
Yeah.
I loved This Is the End. Mm-hmm. I really dug, and I really liked the interview. I was like one of the few.
This
and
is very,
I'm really looking forward to this one.
You went off about
this
that.
This is very
I was like,
good.
Eh.
This is, there's a lot of drug use. There's a lot of, you know, improvisational stuff. The bits are really, really funny. Highly recommend this movie for anybody who, you know,
there you go.
Wants
so
to
you
be politically incorrect.
Can't wait to see it.
So good.
Also coming
so
out
good.
Is Legend, but I don't think Legend is
Tom
hitting
Hardy.
That many theaters. So
does it say?
I'm pretty sure it's like four.
He plays two characters here.
Yeah.
No, I think it's more than that.
No, Legend, November 20th, four theaters, according to Box Office Mojo. So I don't really know why we're talking about it.
They'll be playing at Arclight. And they'll be playing.
It was really.
If you're in New York and LA, it's the only chance you got.
Apparently, it's some gangster that
yeah,
plays
London.
Two gangsters, and one's like.
But it's both paid by Tom
One's like
Hardy.
A homosexual, and the other one's not.
Yeah. It's very Van Damme double impact.
Yeah. But the,
he's
but
playing
the real,
both roles.
It's funny, the real Cray, was his Cray or Cry, whatever his name is, spent time in jail with the real Bronson.
Oh.
Who was like, played by Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yeah.
And the guy Cray said that when he was in jail with Bronson, it was the craziest experience of his whole entire life. He said this guy was completely insane.
Bonkers.
Like, he was like, I'm crazy, but this guy is a complete lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, he took it to the next level.
When crazy's calling someone crazy, you know they're crazy.
It was
also
nuts.
Coming out is Secret in Their Eyes.
Julia Roberts, yeah.
Julia Roberts, Nicole
Chiwetel.
Kidman.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. Chiwetel.
Yeah, Chiwetel.
It's a remake. First of all, it's a remake of a very... successful and praised foreign film.
Chinese movie.
The
Journey to Find Anthony.
I don't think it was Asian. I don't think it was Asian.
So I believe there's something about time in there.
Yeah.
And it's the same title as the original film, and I hear it's fantastic.
I don't feel like the timing's right on this one.
It's very
this
rare.
This is one of those movies they're trying to push. I don't think it's going to make any money. It falls into the category of what we're talking about. Big stars, but not really like...
coming off of just... I know it's a different movie, I know it's a subject, whatever, but coming off of our brand is Crisis, like, I feel like it's kind of the same audience demographic, and what that one did. If I'm looking at who's going to see this movie this weekend, the only person I know who would go out and see this is probably my mom, who's going to be like, the power of motherhood.
I forgot brand of Crisis even exists.
Even my mom, but even she is going to go see, like, Hunger Games first.
Well, Julia Roberts handpicked Nicole Kidman in.
Really?
To be in this, so I guess she wanted it to tank.
I mean, it's got a decent cast. I think
it's a great cast.
I think they're probably hoping this would be like a award type movie, but it's not going to do it.
Yeah. It doesn't bode well.
There's one more.
Speaking
there,
of award movies,
also coming
yes.
out. What
I was going to say. Speaking of award movies, this
you
next
want
me film
talk about Carol.
Yeah, according to Alicia Malone,
also only opening in four theaters.
But this is the beginning of the Oscar push, because this movie I've heard from day one when this showed at Sundance. Oscar for Cate Blanchett and Oscar for the other girl who's in this, which I believe she's
Rooney Mara?
Rooney Mara, yes. I hear those two are going to be like locks, and the movie apparently is really, really good. Cate Blanchett can do no wrong.
Who is she? Is it a biopic? What is it?
It's about two girls like in like the 1950s that start forming a relationship. And
30s?
Ooh.
Cate Blanchett's an older woman, and she's a younger girl.
That was Taboo back in those days.
Basically, Rooney Mara spots the beautiful, elegant Carol, played by Cate Blanchett, pursuing the doll displays in a 1950s Manhattan department store. Mm-hmm. The two women develop a fast bond that becomes a love with complicated consequences.
I'm going to have to watch that.
What kind
there
of bond?
You
use the dolls in the mix.
Oh, no doubt.
There's one other movie I want to talk about just real quick. It's called Criminal Activity.
Okay.
It's,
I don't know what this is.
Yeah, yeah. It's Jackie O'Haley. It's direct.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Travolta.
Yeah, okay. It's got Travolta in it.
Oh, God.
You know.
Yeah, I heard what it was.
Yeah, Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens?
Yeah,
too.
Jackie O'Haley.
That's great.
And Michael Pitt. And I was talking to a guy in the movie
Michael
the
other Pitt.
You know, Michael Pitt. He was in the home game thing. He was in a bunch of movies.
Okay.
Home Invasion, whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
I know someone in this film. They said Michael Pitt's just the craziest person in Hollywood, hands down. Like the biggest lunatic on set ever.
Okay.
So no, he's like, I'll never work with that guy again.
I'm being told we have to move on to predictions. So yeah. Everybody get Sorry. Ready. Things to
and
note.
Yeah, we got
to
get the calls.
Let's
ready
from, and we have to do a call. We do probably get in a little extra time because we were not given the studio till a little bit late today.
Yes, that's correct.
But let's get into Hunger Games is going to be taking on a lot of theaters. Night Before is going to be taking on a lot of theaters. Secret in Their Eyes is coming out in, let me see how many, in about 2,400 theaters. Legend and Carol, while we recommend you see them, are only coming out in about 4 theaters this week, so they're not much to talk about in terms of predictions.
Nope.
JTE, do you want to start us off?
I got to get my thinking cap on right this one.
Listen, obviously number
I'm
one.
I'm ready.
Number one's obviously Hunger Games, okay?
Yeah.
Number two, Spectre. I think it's still made $35 million. I don't think Night Before is going to make enough to take it out. Because when people go see movies, they're still going to see Spectre. It's a big spectacle movie. Night Before, I feel like, has not gotten a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now people, when I say this movie, they're like, oh, what's that about? I haven't heard about it.
Okay.
So, I will go number one, Hunger Games. Number two, Spectre. It's hard to, I got to go Peanuts. Then I'll go The Night Before. Then I'll go The Secret in Their Eyes.
I'm going to jump in here. I think that you could be very right about The Night Before because I agree that the press has not been strong enough for this movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's warranted because, I mean, I've heard the good review and I think movies by the same group or type of group of actors in the past have done well. So I'm going to say that the people who saw movies like This Is the End are still going to know about it and still going to be out.
Neighbors.
And I'm taking it off of there, which opened to $20 million. I'm still going to put it up there. So I'm going...
What's number one?
Number one, Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
$120 million, $130 million probably.
I'm going to put it out there that I think...
We're good with time, she said.
I think that The Night Before can do it.
Okay.
And then we're going to go to Spectre, and then we're going to go to Peanuts. And in the fifth spot,
so we're
I
the
think...
the same so far.
No.
Yeah, you said Spectre, Peanuts... Spectre, Hunger Games, Spectre.
No, she said
I said
before.
Hunger Games, Night Before.
You put Night Before over Spectre? Oh, okay, I won.
Maybe.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, completely
gotcha.
You could. It just depends on how strong those fans come out.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Like, if people are going to go see Love the Coopers, I've got to put some faith in people who think this movie will actually be funny. Then we'll... So, yeah, then Spectre, then Peanuts. And then my fifth spot, which is, like, going to be a huge drop. It's going to be something in, like, the $5 million range, is going to... I'm going to think... I think Secret in Their Eyes can do it just because of the numbers of the theaters that they have.
I agree.
That's fair. Obviously, Hunger Games is number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much. Maybe like one, maybe like 125.
I probably guess the like same. 130.
Maybe, yeah, something around there. I'm torn here. I think Night Before is a hard R.
Mm-hmm.
Spectre, you got to think 35 here. You
got
to think it's going to come down to 20, 24. I'm going to go with JTE and have Spectre at number two, barely.
And then we're gonna go
to Night Before.
Okay.
Probably, I think The Night Before, like you said, it could track. A good comp is, you know,
This is the
Neighbors or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is better than Neighbors too, to be honest. This is a fantastic film. Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could do about 21, maybe 22. And then it's gonna stay there because people are gonna get, it's gonna be great word of mouth. You know, I gotta
but
go
to take any longer.
I gotta go Peanuts as well. At number four. Now, can The Martian stick at five and The Secret in Her Eyes make about five? Yes. Is that gonna happen? I don't know. I'm gonna go to Marcia at number five. I think I think we can see The Secret in Your Eyes tanking. Nicole Kidman is poison.
The thing is, if it's $5 million, I still think that's kind of tanking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. How many theaters is it in?
2,400.
That could tank.
Oof. Yeah.
Because nobody wants to see that right now. Hunger Games is going to eat the audience. Then you got Spectre, which is going to take some of that.
We can take about one, maybe two
callers. No, she said we're good on time.
All right. Well, let's start with one and see where we go.
Yeah, it could be a great call.
JT?
Yep. Ready to go.
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Who we got?
It's Paul Fernhardt.
Of course it is.
Yes, dude.
The
What's
man,
up,
the myth, the legend.
Dude, you're on fire right now.
Yeah, I know. I won the top five again, but second week.
Jeez, you got it.
You're locked in. You're like the New England Patriots right now.
They barely got through.
I'm not a Patriots fan.
Yeah, but you're balling, though. We won't hold it against you.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Specifically, JTE won't hold it against you.
Hey, did you get the DVD we sent you?
No, not yet. I mentioned Mercer. He told me that I should get it this week.
Yeah, you should get it by Tuesday.
Yeah, you're going to get it. What you got? You got a question or you got the top five?
I got a question to add, and we'll do the top five.
Okay, let's do it.
So you guys are talking about the girl that dragged it on, the girl dragged it past you called 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I heard it was doing another one.
Mm. Yeah, they're doing another film. It's based on the fourth book, and they're recasting everybody.
Yeah, I heard Ruby Moore was not coming back, but I heard she talking about she still may do it, don't know if they didn't call her to come back.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I want to see her come back to the role, because they're going to replace her.
Yeah, I'd love to see her naked again, too.
I know, I like that movie. Daniel Craig is coming back, he should be doing James Bond.
Absolutely. Yeah. It could be very interesting.
I know. I like the Fincher film. I thought it was really well done. Daniel Craig, and I thought Rooney Mara was, she was nominated for supporting actress.
She was great.
All right. Top five. My top five is really number one, of course, the Hunger Games. Bobby J. Part 2 is going to destroy everything.
Of course.
Yep.
Number two is going to be Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are still going to go see that.
I'm with you.
Yep.
Number three, this is going to be tricky right here.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I'm going to probably put the Penis movie.
Yeah, okay. You're right there with me.
Hey, the boss is on fire.
Yeah.
Number four is going to be The Night Before. Number five is going to be Secret in the Eye.
Boom. You're right on there with me, boss. I'm right there with you.
I mean, you have been right.
Yeah,
so
the last 2 weeks.
I'm putting the odds in JTE's favor this week.
The boss is locked in.
May the odds ever be in your favor.
The boss is crunching numbers in his basement. Yeah.
The problem is 125 million.
Yeah, that's what you said, 125.
Yeah, about 125. Man, you're locked in. I don't know.
Got it.
You should be on the show.
Yeah, you're doing big stuff.
All right, thanks so much, boss, man. Keep calling in, man. Let me know when you get that Blu-ray.
Thanks, boss.
All right.
Later, buddy.
Bye. All right, let's take another.
He's the boss. He's the best.
Yeah, let's do our call. Hey, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Hi, it's Kristen.
Nice.
Kristen, two, also winning.
You two
again.
Are on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, you guys are on Mount Rushmore, yeah. Hey, Kristen, what do you think about Sarah's lipstick?
You don't need to answer that.
We like it. There's my mother.
Oh, she's the best, too.
Her mom likes it.
Hey, Mom.
There we go. Hello. It's Roxy Stryers.
Hi, we like it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, Kristen's
mom. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'll be in Jersey soon. You guys should take me out for some drinks or something like that. Dinner. Maybe dinner and stuff. Not on you guys, obviously.
You're supposed to say, I will take you out.
Yeah, you're like, you can take me out.
I don't have any money.
Dinner.
I'm poor.
All right, Kristen, do you have a question or do you have a top five day?
I have both. Do I have time for a question and the top five?
Sure. Start with your top five, and then we'll do the question.
Okay. So I basically have the same numbers as Boss Turner.
Nice. And JT. I love
Everybody
it.
Everybody does.
No. This is like the compass of destiny, and it's just pointing at JT.
Yeah, Boss Turner's from president right now.
It hurts.
Okay. So, all right, cool. So we'll put you down for the same five, and what's your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Since The Coopers came out this past weekend and then The Night Before is coming out Friday,
mm-hmm.
I was wondering what your favorite and your least favorite holiday movie is.
Least favorite and favorite.
That's a good one. Look, I'll stop short at saying that The Night Before is a Christmas classic.
Really?
It's a really funny movie.
Jeez.
Ooh.
Well, it's not a Christmas classic. I mean, Christmas classics and the best Christmas movie or the best holiday movie of all time is easily Christmas Vacation. You can laugh at that at any time. You know, the jokes never get old. That's the only thing with The Night Before. I don't know if I'll laugh at them again the way I laughed at them the first time watching them. But you could watch Christmas Vacation at any point and any holiday and still laugh because the jokes are timeless and the characters are timeless. So that's definitely my favorite.
Least favorite?
No, my favorite.
No, what's your least favorite?
Oh, least favorite?
Both.
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, holiday movie?
Yeah. Can you use it's tough.
You know what? honestly, I might get crucified for saying this. I'm not a big fan of Christmas Story.
Okay, well.
Not a big fan.
I was just about to say my favorite is Christmas Story, because if I don't see it around Christmas, it feels like Christmas is incomplete. I don't know how you could not like that movie.
I just don't love it.
It's amazing.
I mean,
I'll give like the runner up to Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Great movie.
Love that movie. Richard Donner directed it. Yeah. Then my least favorite, it's a tough one. I don't really think, I guess, what was that, Michael Keaton when he was a snowman? Jack Frost.
Oh, that was
That's really
awful.
Bad.
That was awful.
I was going to say my least favorite is the one where they have Mr. Frost in the new Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they got that.
Played by
that
Martin Short.
Awful. Mm-hmm. I don't know favorite? If it's my favorite, because I rewatched it recently and I realized it's disturbing.
What's that?
But growing up, March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Oh, I love
it.
Yeah,
like
that's
an old school one.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Loved it.
You know what? I might change it to that.
It's extremely disturbing.
I like Barnaby
because
I want to be Barnaby.
Yeah.
He's the best.
That's awful.
Why?
You can't want to be Barnaby.
Yeah,
he's
wants
evil.
To ruin the town and like marry
and
the hot
like
chick and stuff like
apes.
That.
Apes. But that's the movie
that's
I grew
it's
up
Boogie
with. But I rewatched it last year and I was like, this is what I liked.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll have a screening at my house.
We'll do a special,
just for
we'll
me
do
and
a Christmas screening of
The Babes in Toyland.
Laurel
and Hardy were in it. It's,
yeah,
they go
it's
to Boogie,
old school.
They get exiled to Boogie Land. It's the best.
All right, Kristen.
There's like a weird mouse.
Thanks for that call. That was great.
Great
that Christmas
call.
Joy.
Always solid.
Have a good
all
one.
All right. I think that's all of our calls for today. Mm-hmm. Predictions yep. are in.
We'll get some more next week.
We got something huge next week. You know, obviously for the arrival of Creed, we are going to do
ready.
A full Stallone episode. Okay. We're going to Sarah's going to dress up like Adrian in Rocky 1.
I will.
And then cuz you know she's going to have like the beret on and the glasses, and then she's going to leave
got
for
it.
2 minutes and come back as like hot Adrian
from
Rocky
4.
Four.
Or Rocky 3.
Yes, Rocky 3.
We didn't discuss that part.
And then I'm going to be somebody and JT might dress up and
I might order
if you
a jump
me one, I will wear it.
I already got it for you.
I might come in as Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, he's going to come
in
as Tommy
blue jacket, blue sweatpants.
So everyone
I might do that. So it's going to be top 5 Stallone movies.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign movie title game.
Stallone
obviously.
Oh, gosh.
Then we're going to just celebrate Stallone's career. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring all my mugs in.
Okay.
Yes, I'll bring mine too.
Yeah, we're going to bring tons of mugs in. And we may have a special guest. The big one.
So everyone,
stay tuned.
Stallone.
Get ready for
Frank
next
Stallone.
Week.
He may call
it.
Wait, I can say you actually enjoy the movies this weekend.
Yes.
I think there's going to be some fun happening in theaters. Go out, have a good laugh, or finish your Hunger Games tour, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back at Box Office Breakdown on Pop Talk Network.
Yep.
Tweet.
Follow
at
me
us.
At Schmoes JTE.
Yeah, at Bob Finstock. I could be found there.
And Sarah tweeted
Sarah
today.
_ Stretton. Yes, I did. That's why my hair is in a ponytail. Don't ask. But also, big news coming up for you two soon, right?
But you mean Box Office Breakdown going into the finals?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Schmoes No Show is on hiatus right now, but it's coming back in a couple weeks, and I believe we'll be up.
Are you guys prepped?
Really quick.
You going to come in with us?
I told you I would, but you're just not giving me any dates here.
We'll know when we'll let you know.
Okay.
I'm gonna get you this one piece Catwoman suit that you could wear.
We'll see about that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, thank you so much. You are all wonderful. We appreciate you. Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Keep watching those numbers.
Poof.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.